All right, so we've got this stack of wine science research here you sent over, and it looks like we're doing a deep dive into pruning grapevines today.
Sounds good.
You're interested in like the when and how of pruning? And I think honestly, who isn't?
Right.
Everyone wants perfectly pruned vines, but it can seem really daunting if you don't know where to start.
Yeah.
So today we're going to try to like distill the key info about pruning, and hopefully by the end of this, you'll walk away with some useful knowledge that you can actually apply to your vines.
Awesome.
Okay, so let's jump right in.
Yeah, let's do it.
First things first, why prune at all? Is it really necessary? Can't we just let those grapevines do their thing? What happens if we just skip pruning altogether?
That's a really great question, and a common one too. Oftentimes, people think of pruning as purely aesthetic, just to make the vines look nice and tidy.
Right, like just for appearances.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so much more than that.
Oh.
Pruning is absolutely crucial for influencing the quality and quantity of the grapes your vines produce.
So it's not just about looks, it's about the actual grapes themselves.
Exactly. And to answer your question about skipping pruning altogether, well, grapevines are incredibly vigorous plants, meaning they have a natural tendency to grow quite aggressively. If you let them grow unchecked, they'll put most of their energy into producing an abundance of leaves and shoots.
So lots of greenery, but not necessarily lots of grapes.
Precisely. While that explosion of leaves might look impressive, it's not ideal for producing high-quality fruit. The vine's resources are spread thin, leading to smaller grapes with less concentrated flavor and potentially lower yields overall. Pruning helps us redirect that energy.
Got it. So it's like we're telling the vine, hey, focus on making delicious grapes, not just putting on a leafy show. Right. Okay. So we've established that pruning is important, but when exactly should we be doing this? When's the best time to prune?
This brings us to the concept of the vine's dormant period, a sort of annual winter slumber. Ideally, we want to prune during this period, typically in late winter or early spring, before the buds start to swell with new life.
So like before they wake up from their winter nap?
Exactly.
Okay, so while they're still asleep.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Think of it like performing surgery when the patient is asleep.
Okay.
It minimizes stress on the vine and allows for smoother wound healing.
Don't want to wake the patient up mid-surgery, right? But I'm curious, what if we miss that ideal window? What happens if we prune too early or too late in the season?
That's an important point to consider. Timing can really make a difference. Pruning too early, especially in regions prone to late frosts, is a risky move.
Okay.
You could expose those freshly pruned areas to freezing temperatures, damaging the vine, and setting back its growth.
Ouch. Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
And then pruning too late, after the sap has started flowing, can cause excessive bleeding from the cuts, sort of like a nosebleed for the vine.
Oh, wow.
This can weaken the plant and make it more susceptible to diseases.
So timing is key here.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like finding that perfect pruning window is a bit of a balancing act, influenced by both the local climate and the specific type of grapes we're growing, right?
Right. Absolutely. That's why it's so important to observe your vines closely, understand the typical weather patterns in your area, and learn about the specific needs of the grape varieties you're working with.
So no one-size-fits-all approach.
Right.
Okay, so now we know why we prune and when to prune. But what about the how? The sources you sent over mention a variety of different pruning methods. Can you walk us through some of the most common ones?
Yeah, sure. So, let's start with cane pruning, which is one of the more traditional methods. This involves selecting one or two strong, healthy canes from the previous year's growth and training them along a support system, like a trellis. These canes will produce the current year's crop.
Interesting. So we're essentially choosing the leaders for this year's growth.
Yeah, you could say that.
What other methods are there?
Another common approach is spur pruning.
Okay.
Instead of leaving long canes, you leave short spurs with just a few buds on older wood. This method is often used for vines that are trained to grow in a more compact form. And then there's a method that always piques people's interest: minimal pruning.
Minimal pruning. That sounds almost too good to be true, like letting nature take the reins completely. Is that what's happening here?
It's not quite a complete hands-off approach, but it does involve significantly less intervention compared to the other methods. Research, particularly in Australia, has shown that certain grape varieties can actually produce good quality fruit with minimal pruning.
Wow, so certain vines can kind of self-regulate?
It seems that way.
But I imagine this isn't a universal solution. Are there specific types of grapes that thrive with this method?
You're right. Not all grape varieties respond well to minimal pruning. It seems to work best with those that naturally have a more balanced growth habit, like Grenache.
Okay.
they're less prone to becoming an unruly tangle of vines without regular pruning.
So minimal pruning, intriguing, but not a free pass to neglect our vines completely.
Definitely not.
Okay, so before we get too deep into the specifics of each method, let's talk about technique. You know, the research you sent uses some pretty strong language when it comes to the precision of those pruning cuts. Why is that so crucial?
Making clean, accurate cuts is paramount when it comes to pruning. Think of it like surgery for your vines. Just as a surgeon aims for clean incisions to promote healing, we want to avoid jagged edges that could invite disease or hinder the vine's recovery.
So we're not just hacking away at the branches here.
No, definitely not. We need to be precise and deliberate with our cuts. One of the key aspects of a proper cut is the angle.
Okay, I'm all ears. Talk to me about angles.
So you always want to angle your cut slightly away from the bud.
Okay.
Imagine you're creating a miniature roof over the bud, allowing water to run off easily.
So we're preventing water from pooling and potentially causing rot or disease.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. What else do we need to consider?
Proximity to the bud is crucial as well.
Okay.
Cut too close, and you risk damaging the bud itself. Too far away, and you leave a stub that can die back and become a potential entry point for disease.
Got it.
It's all about finding that sweet spot.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the research also emphasizes using sharp, clean pruning shears. Is that just about speed and efficiency, or is there more to it?
Sharpness is crucial for making clean cuts that heal quickly and minimize the risk of disease. Think about it. A dull blade will crush and tear the wood, creating a larger wound that's more susceptible to infection.
Right.
A sharp blade makes a precise cut that allows the vine to heal efficiently.
So it's all about respecting the vine and giving it the best chance to thrive.
Yeah.
And cleaning the shears, I imagine that's about preventing the spread of any potential diseases from vine to vine.
Absolutely. Cleaning your shears between cuts, especially if you suspect any disease in the vineyard, is like washing your hands after touching something potentially contaminated.
Right, no.
It's a simple step, but incredibly important for preventing the spread of harmful pathogens.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
Timing, methods, the importance of precision cuts and clean tools. Anything else crucial about the how of pruning before we move on?
One of the most fundamental aspects of pruning is understanding how many buds to leave on each vine. It's a delicate balancing act. Too many buds, and the vine can become overloaded, leading to smaller, less flavorful grapes.
Yep.
Too few, and you're potentially sacrificing yield.
So how do we find that sweet spot, the optimal number of buds to retain?
It all comes down to assessing the vigor of each vine, its overall health and growth potential.
So that's where things can get tricky.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll dive deeper into that in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, sounds good.
But for now, it's important to understand that pruning is all about working with the vine, understanding its individual needs, and making informed decisions to guide its growth in the right direction.
Great. This has been incredibly insightful already.
Good.
I'm starting to see pruning in a whole new light.
Awesome. Welcome back to our deep dive on pruning. So we left off talking about finding that balance, right, between encouraging fruit production and maintaining that vine health. So let's dig a little deeper into this whole idea of assessing a vine's vigor.
Okay, yeah, let's unpack that a bit. What exactly are we talking about when we say vine vigor? How do we even know if a vine is vigorous or not? Like, is it just a visual thing, or are there more specific ways to kind of assess it?
It's a combination of things, really. You know, it's observation, but also understanding those factors that contribute to a vine's growth potential. Vine vigor is essentially a measure of how much energy the vine has for growth.
Okay, so a really vigorous vine would be like a super athlete, just like bursting with energy.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, actually. Visually, you'll see a vigorous vine has those long, thick canes with large, deep green leaves. You know, it's reaching for the sky. But vigor is influenced by a lot of different things, like the grape variety itself, the soil conditions, climate, even the rootstock it's grafted onto.
Wow, so many different variables, huh? So basically, if we have a particularly vigorous vine, we can leave more buds during pruning, and if it's a bit weaker, we need to kind of prune back a bit more.
That's the general idea. It's all about working with the vine's natural tendencies, you know, not trying to force it into something it's not.
And this kind of ties back to our discussion about minimal pruning earlier, doesn't it? You mentioned that some grape varieties are better suited to this method than others.
Right. You're right. It does. Vine vigor plays a huge role in determining whether a vine can handle a more hands-off approach. Some varieties, like Grenache, have a natural tendency to self-regulate their growth, almost like they have an internal pruning system.
That's so cool. So with those types, minimal pruning might be a good option.
It can be, yeah. But it's important to remember that even minimal pruning doesn't mean zero pruning. You'll still need to make some selective cuts to maintain the vine's structure and prevent it from becoming too congested.
Right, even a self-regulating vine needs a little guidance now and then.
Exactly. And for varieties that are known for being super vigorous, like some Cabernet Sauvignon clones, minimal pruning might not be the best approach.
Makes sense.
Those vines might end up a tangled mess without a bit more intervention.
Okay, so it really comes down to understanding the specific needs of the grape variety we're growing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the individual characteristics of our vines.
Absolutely. It's about being a keen observer, recognizing the subtle cues your vines are giving you, and making informed decisions based on what you see.
All right, I'm feeling more and more like a grapevine detective.
Uh-huh.
But let's shift gears for a moment and talk about the tools we use for pruning. You know, the sources are quite emphatic about using sharp, clean pruning shears. Why is that so important? It seems like a recurring theme in this deep dive.
It is, and for good reason. Using sharp shears is crucial for making those precise, clean cuts we've been talking about.
All right, right. And remind me why those clean cuts are so important again.
Well, sharp shears minimize damage to the vine. They promote quicker healing and reduce the risk of disease. You know, imagine trying to cut a piece of paper with dull scissors.
Yeah.
You just end up with a jagged, messy edge.
Yeah.
It's the same concept with pruning. A dull blade will crush and tear the wood, creating a larger wound that takes longer to heal and is more susceptible to infection.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
A sharp blade makes a precise cut that allows the vine to heal efficiently.
Gotcha. Okay, and what about cleaning the shears? Is that just about, like, being tidy, or is there a more practical reason for that?
Cleaning is all about disease prevention. Think about it. If you're pruning a vine that has a fungal infection and then move on to a healthy vine without cleaning your shears, you could easily spread that infection throughout the vineyard.
Oh, wow. I hadn't even thought about that. So it's like a tiny little vector for disease.
Exactly.
Huh.
Cleaning your shears between cuts, especially when you're moving between vines, is a simple but incredibly important step for maintaining a healthy vineyard.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, starting to realize that pruning is a lot more complex than I initially thought.
It can be, yeah.
But also incredibly fascinating.
It is.
Before we move on, is there anything else we need to know about, like, the actual act of pruning itself?
So one key aspect that we haven't really touched on yet is the importance of making cuts in the right place. It's not just about making the cuts correctly.
Interesting. So it's not just about how we prune, but also where we prune.
Right, exactly.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. So let's say you're using that cane pruning method we talked about earlier. When you're selecting the canes to keep, you need to consider their position, their health, and how the buds are distributed along the cane. You're essentially choosing the leaders for the vine's future growth. So you want to make sure you're setting it up for success.
So it's almost like we're sculpting the vine in a way,
mm-hmm.
right? Like envisioning its future form as we make each cut.
That's a great way to think about it, yeah. Pruning is both an art and a science.
This has been incredibly insightful. I feel like I'm gaining a whole new appreciation for the skill and knowledge that goes into pruning grapevines.
Good.
Are we ready to move on to the next stage of our pruning journey?
Let's do it. We'll continue our exploration of pruning, looking into some of the nuances and common mistakes to avoid.
All right, let's dive into those nuances and common mistakes you mentioned. You know, always trying to avoid any pruning disasters over here.
Yeah, that's smart. A very wise approach. One of the most common mistakes, especially for, you know, beginners, is that temptation to remove too much wood. It might feel counterintuitive.
Right.
Especially in those early years when the vine is establishing itself, we actually need to be a bit more restrained with our pruning.
So even though, like, the goal of pruning is to control and direct growth, we don't want to be too enthusiastic in those early stages.
Exactly, yeah. It's about finding that balance, right? You know, encouraging growth to build a strong framework for the vine, but also selectively removing wood to shape it and promote that fruit production, aiming for a happy medium.
Okay, makes sense. And what about, like, those improper cuts we talked about earlier? Any other tips on how to avoid those?
Beyond making those clean cuts at the right angle, like we've been talking about, you got to make sure you're cutting in the right place.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. It's not just about how we prune, but also where we prune.
Exactly. So let's say you're using that cane pruning method, right?
Yeah.
Remember, we're selecting those canes that'll become the leaders for the vine's growth. Choosing those right canes is key. We're looking for canes that are healthy, well-positioned, and have that good bud distribution along the length, right? We want to avoid canes that are weak, damaged, or have buds that are clustered too closely together.
So it's almost like we're architects. carefully planning the layout of the vine's future growth.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay. Now, what about minimal pruning? Any specific advice for those who are maybe thinking about experimenting with that method?
I think the first thing is, you know, choosing the right grape variety.
Right.
As we discussed, some are just naturally better suited to minimal pruning than others. Grenache, for example, tends to self-regulate pretty well.
Right, those self-regulating varieties, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they have that built-in pruning instinct or something.
Exactly.
But what if, you know, we're working with the different varieties. Is there anything else to keep in mind?
Climate plays a big role, too.
Yeah.
Minimal pruning tends to be more successful in those regions that have dry, warm growing seasons,
yeah.
You know, where that disease pressure is lower.
Okay.
And even if you've chosen a suitable variety and your climate is favorable, just, you know, be prepared for some trial and error.
Yeah.
Every vineyard is unique with its own microclimate, soil type, and other factors that can influence growth.
Right.
What works beautifully in one vineyard might not be ideal in another.
So even with minimal pruning, it's not a set it and forget it kind of thing.
Right.
We still need to observe our vines, you know, make those adjustments as needed, and kind of learn as we go.
Exactly.
Okay, speaking of air circulation, I'm curious about the connection between pruning and disease prevention.
Yeah.
It seems like maintaining a well-ventilated canopy is key for fending off, you know, those pesky fungal infections.
Yeah, absolutely. Pruning plays a critical role in disease prevention. By opening up that canopy and allowing sunlight and air to penetrate, we're creating an environment that's less hospitable to those fungal pathogens. Think of it like ensuring good ventilation in a house to prevent mold and mildew.
Right, right. So pruning isn't just about like yield and quality.
It's not, no.
It's an integral part of maintaining a healthy vineyard ecosystem.
Got it. It's about understanding that interconnectedness of all these elements, the vines, the soil, the climate, even those tiny organisms that inhabit the vineyard. You know, it's all connected.
This deep dive has truly opened my eyes to the world of pruning. I feel so much more informed and, dare I say, a bit excited to put all of this knowledge into practice.
That's great.
Any final thoughts for our listeners before we wrap up today?
I would say, you know, approach pruning as a journey of discovery. Don't be afraid to experiment, to try different methods, to observe closely how your vines respond. Each cut is an opportunity to learn and to refine those skills as a pruner. And who knows, you might even, you know, stumble upon some innovative techniques that work particularly well for your unique vineyard.
I love that, a journey discovery. Thanks so much for joining us today and for guiding us through this fascinating exploration of pruning. It's been a pleasure.
The pleasure was all mine. Thanks for having me.